Welcome to Back Fence Unhinged, a conversational roller coaster ride to leisurely enjoy along with the middle of your day, afternoon, or night. You're about to hear an unhinged story about a daytime national TV show appearance from my co-host, Andrew Dixon. Hi, Andrew.
Hey.
Then comes the second unhinged part. I'll ask Andrew some questions about the story and maybe, just maybe, share a story or two of my own mixed in there with yours. Just a little mix of host mix in there.
I love it. Hey, yeah. Frayne, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, Andrew.
Love
How about
it.
Yourself?
I'm good. Hey, have you, must have been on TV many, many times.
I've been on TV.
Do you have a memorable TV moment?
What's my most memorable TV moment? I suppose, what would it would be? Memorable TV moment. I'm trying to think. I did it like a sketch comedy show on TV for a while. And so very local, very small potatoes. And I got to play a newscaster. It was actually a pilot that never aired. And the funniest thing is I have very fine hair, but it gets very huge if someone teases it and curls it out. And it's pretty hilarious. I look like a newscaster.
That's amazing. Factor in some bright lights.
Yeah, some very bright lights. My hair was extremely blonde at that point. And I had some horrible, hideous blazer on. Just like a shiny red and black blazer is what I remember.
I love you as a newscaster.
Thank you very much.
Was that ever a dream job for you?
To be a newscaster? Oh, yeah. No. I don't. Maybe like a comedic, like an anchorman type of newscaster. Right. But as far as actually delivering the news.
Not so much.
And now we're going to throw it to you, Andrew.
Oh, hey. Yeah, well, this is such a fun episode because we each tell our own story instead
we
of
do.
Bring a guest on.
Yeah, so it's just us.
Yeah.
It's just us, so you get to know us a little bit.
So I did serve you up with the TV thing, right?
You so did, I'm so ready. I want to, oh yeah, yes. So let's, I feel like now we're going to get a heapin' helpin'.
Oh, yes.
Of that national
Absolutely.
TV show that was teased at the top.
Well, let me set the scene.
Oh, would you, please?
Okay, so it's 1989.
Ooh.
I'm a junior in high school,
mm-hmm.
and I'm in my bedroom.
Uh-huh.
In the evening.
Oh, it's getting spicy.
It is. And my dad yells from downstairs, and he says, "Hey, Andrew, there's a producer from the Geraldo Rivera TV show on the phone, and they want to talk to you."
Hold the phone. What?
Yes. And so I pick up the phone, landline, you know, yeah. I hear my dad click.
Right.
And I talk to this producer for a couple minutes. And
then
doing.
Let's back this up for a minute. Like, you get this, you're just in your room. What are you listening? What did you listen to in your room? Or what?
I think I'd just gone from my classic rock phase to the punk rock phase.
Oh, cool.
Right? So all the Beatles and the Jimi Hendrix posters were all gone.
Right.
Kind of a minimalist aesthetic.
Do you have any thoughts about Geraldo Rivera at this point in your life?
Oprah has been on top many times.
Right.
Donahue.
Sure.
Later, it was Jerry Springer. This 1989 was when Geraldo Rivera, for better or for worse, was on top.
Really?
Because do you remember when he did the 2-hour live Al Capone's vault show, which was such a disaster.
But did he find a bottle in there, like a tiny bottle or something?
For 2 hours, he'd be like, "We're still digging."
Yeah, it's like, it's Al Capone's tiny shot of espresso, everyone.
And then just like a couple months earlier, there was a show where, I don't know, we used to call them neo-Nazis. I think we just call them Nazis now, came on and threw a chair at him. And I mean, I don't think anyone really, you know, unless people who are home at 2 in the afternoon saw it, but it was just this huge national news item. So people kind of like, he was charming, but people kind of love to hate Geraldo Rivera.
Right.
But his show was on top. And so it was like, but it's also daytime TV. So it's like this push-pull.
And then for people who have like, maybe were not around for this era, he's like a curly-haired, mustachioed, not as right wing as he is now sort of person, but like,
and had made the jump from newscaster to talk show host.
Well, okay.
And so they were doing a show about teenagers and they called my dad because he is a writer and he writes a lot of books about language and had written a book called Slang. And there was a chapter about teenage slang. So they like called him up, says, you know, hey, do you want to be on the show? He's like, of course, my dad loves to be on TV. And then they were like, well, do you know any teenagers we should talk to? And he's like, yeah, talk to my son, Andrew. So I spent like five minutes.
Dad, smooth.
Right. So I spent 5 minutes on the phone. And I think, you know, she's trying to make sure I'm articulate enough to be on national TV, but also trying to sort of typecast me.
Okay.
So she's asking about extracurricular.
She's trying to pigeonhole.
Yes.
Pigeonhole.
Exactly.
Pigeonhole you.
Yes. And so very quick, she's like, okay, great. You're on the show. Do you know anyone else we should talk to? I'm like, oh, call my friend Nick. He's like kind of an activist.
Of course,
he started
Nick.
Amnesty
yeah.
International chapter at our high school. And so the very next morning, my dad, Nick, and I, like, we skip school. We're on an early flight from D.C. to New York. A town car picks us up from JFK, takes us into
with
Midtown.
With your names when you get out? Are
oh, yeah.
Names?
No, there's like a guy with like this cap on in our names.
This is so exciting.
And we go into the green room, and it's like every teenage stereotype is like, it's like eating goldfish. And there's like a cheerleader in uniform.
You're talking about Pepperidge Farm goldfish,
yes.
Right?
Okay.
Just want to be clear.
Cheddar. You know, this
was
before
pretzel
or
Flavor
Blast.
That's some high stakes green room food.
It was good stuff. And there's all, it's everyone's been sort of stereotyped.
Right.
You know, so there's a football player, and Nick has been asked to sort of play up the punk rock activist thing. And much to my chagrin, I realized that I'm the nerd.
So, oh, no. So
on the interview, I had told her I was the National Honor Society president.
Oh, were you?
Which sounds like it could be a national position, but is in fact, there's one at every high school. And
but
it was
really... I want to pause a minute. You were the National Honor Society president?
At my high school, not
I
nationally.
I know, but
yeah,
like, I'm co-hosting with the president.
Oh, yeah.
It's
but it was
amazing.
I mean, it was just like kind of a popularity contest, and it became this awesome thing to put on your college application. And there was no work. We had like two meetings a year. It was really great. And so, but yeah, so I'm in like a button-up shirt and a blazer, and I'm like, oh, man. So by this point, like my dad doesn't even get on stage. He's been relegated to the front row. And so the show starts and there's like 15 stools and the 15 teenagers all take the stage. And there's like the hot lights and there's like 200 studio audience members.
Are you nervous?
Yeah, I think. I mean, like kind of keyed up because like we don't really know what the show is about. It's like
right.
a show about teenagers. It's like, what
right.
does that
That's
mean?
That's broad.
So he comes out and immediately becomes clear that it's about like, he's like kind of trying to pick a fight. So he does this like mini interview with each person and he comes to the football player who's this big kid. And he's been, I mean, he's not only, he's in pads. And
he's in his pads
they
on the
asked,
show.
Yeah. And in his uniform, he's got his helmet. And Geraldo's like, you know, the chances of making the NFL are like 1 in a million. What are you going to do when your dream doesn't work out?
And just Geraldo.
Like, very coolly, he's like, oh, you know, football is just for fun. I'm planning to go to NYU to be a lawyer, and I want to be a defense attorney.
Amazing.
You could just see the smoke coming out
of Geraldo. I already love this kid for just calmly answering
right?
it.
And, so, and it keeps kind of backfiring me. And so he comes to me, and he's just like, so, Andrew, what's it like to be bullied? And I was like, I don't know. You'd have to ask someone else. You know, just like, I mean, like, being smart's kind of cool in my high school, and like... you know, I go to parties, I have friends, you know, I'm kind of giving it to him. And like, this keeps happening. And then finally he gets to this young woman. It's a little hard to tell like what her stereo, you know, like how
she doesn't have a cheerleader uniform on.
Little, maybe a poet.
She doesn't have a band uniform on. A no. poet. She has a beret on.
Yeah. She's yeah. And so, and then he's like, comes to her and he's like, so I heard you recently came out of the closet and it didn't go very well with your family. And she bravely tells this 2-minute, you know, coming out story and her parents like kicking her out. And it's really emotional. And
wow.
This is 1989. This
right.
is the first time I've heard a coming
right.
out story in person. And I mean, she's so courageous. And then right, you know, she starts crying and then you just hear cut. And Geraldo bounces. And it feels like 10 minutes. It's probably a minute. But the 15 of us are all just like on our stools.
In hot lights still.
Hot lights. The audience is looking at us. And nobody comes over to like explain what's happening or to comfort this young woman. And then like all of a sudden, Geraldo just comes back on stage. He's been in hair and makeup. So he looks fantastic. And
because his sweat's been blood.
Yes. He looks great. And there we hear roll. And then he just comes up to her and says, I understand you recently came out of the closet and it didn't go very well with your parents. Can you tell us what that was like?
What?
And it was so fucked up. And of course she's like, no one's even said, hey, we're going to have to do, you know, there's no compassion. There's no empathy.
This is insane.
And she, you know, she sort of like gets this like, you know, half version out, but it's, and from that point on, it's on. It's like the 15 of us are united against Geraldo, and for better, for he gets what he wants. He gets drama because we're, you know, just like every answer becomes combative. And, you know, I think for me, I was already kind of a cynical teenager. I mean, right. You know, like I read Gen X right when it came out. I was like, yes. And it really created this, it just deep, it like sort of crystallized the cynicism I had about like the mainstream media and mainstream culture, and like really just like kind of pushed me further into the subculture. And I was really like, it took me a long time to become the optimistic, like sort of open person I am. And this is a big part of it.
Right.
This crazy experience on the Geraldo Rivera show.
Wow. I wonder what that young woman, like how she experienced that afterwards.
I mean, it, you know, because it was national TV, you know, right. It was the biggest talk. So I can, I'm sure it was really hard for her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other crazy thing is, actually my friend Nick, was like, I think you should get someone like totally outside of the system. So that morning they went to Port Authority and they got a runaway. And so like this, like, so a lot of the audience questions were targeted towards this poor woman. And it was really rough because it was before we knew like why people ran away from home. You know, so someone's like, why didn't you just go home to your parents? I bet that your parents are worried sick. And she's like, because they abused me. You know, it's just like, the whole thing was so gross. And just, yeah, really,
it's pretty jarring. So gross. And like that no producers produced.
Right. Yeah. No, there was no, like, there was no hand. It was just, it was very much that like, all right, teens on in five. You know,
like, teens on in five with 15 stools. Do you have a conversation with your dad and Nick on the way back about this whole experience?
I think it was the other thing that was kind of cool was, so they do two in a row. And the second show, we were the first taping, and the second taping was about like soul singers, where are they now? And so as like—
hard right turn there.
Right. So after the show was over, like there were all these like amazing, glamorous, like older soul singers. And then Fred from the B-52s was there just because he was such a fan of theirs that he just like wanted to hang out in the green room and be there.
Rusted! Right?
So there was like, you know, a little stardom. And then, the funny thing was that my friend Nick was like, hey, we're not going to tell anyone about this until the day it airs. And then we're going to get like a school-wide assembly, and we're going to watch it, the whole school. We're going to be famous. And I was like, I don't know if that's like that, if this is that big a deal, but okay. And I kind of went along with it. And of course it takes like a month. And so in that month, I didn't tell anyone.
But you followed Nick's advice.
But I had not one, but two young women that Nick had crushes on that came up to me and was like, hey, Nick told me you guys were going to be on the Geraldo Rivera show. So he totally was like using it as a pickup line.
Nick was flirting.
You know, he was a hound. What can we say? And then we did, I think, we did not have an assembly, but I think for the class that like Nick and I were in, science class or whatever, they did wheel in the, you know, the TV on the AV cart, and we watched it. And like, sure enough, people were like, cool. But it wasn't like, oh my God, Nick and Andrew.
Yeah, you didn't sign any autographs after or anything like that? Nothing?
Did not change our medium, you know, stature.
No one was calling you all punk and nerd after just giving you the nicknames of the stereotypes?
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
But it did air.
It did, yeah.
And did it air more than once? Did it air on repeats?
Good question. I don't know.
And did they use the first cut or the second cut of the young woman who spoke?
The second cut.
Interesting. Yeah, because Geraldo looked better.
I think they cut. I mean, I think there was a camera issue, which is I'm assuming.
Okay.
You know, like I think they cut for like a technical reason.
But we don't know.
But we don't know.
And maybe, we have and no
maybe they
idea.
Said, like, cut, you know, camera B's down or something, but there was no...
It's always,
you know,
camera B, isn't it?
Camera B is
always.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's such a big experience to have at that age. Was your dad bummed? Because you said that your dad liked to be on TV, and yet he didn't end up on TV.
He got a moment, like he got a back from the commercial, like Geraldo was in the front row, like, I'm here with Paul Dixon, who's like wrote this book about slang. And I think he was like, Paul, give us a couple. And you know, my dad probably was, you know, he probably shared like, well, in the 1960s, instead of saying cool, they said...
That shit's heavy.
Yeah. So he got his brief moment. But it was actually, it was like, you know, kind of an exciting Tuesday for right. sure.
Was it? Did your mom ever want to be on TV? Was she like, could I come along? Or,
yeah, I think my dad definitely would, because he was a writer. So back in the day, he would go on tours, like, you know, and you go like city to city, and you do like the
your reading tour.
You would go on the radio stations, and you know, you do like a little morning TV in Cleveland, and then you go to the bookstore, and I hope he took her. I'm sure he took her along.
I just looking out. Yeah. I'm just wondering what her take on all.
Yeah, I think she was definitely a great host and very social, but I think she was okay not being on TV.
All right.
Yeah, and I didn't really want to go back. I mean, there was like it was like after that.
You peaked in TV in high school, then, basically. So you've never been on TV since then? But you've been in film stuff.
I don't know. I mean, my wife Susan has been on. She's been on The Morning Show a number of times. I don't think I have. My daughter Pearl's been on many times for Girl Scouts and for inventing a salt and straw ice cream flavor.
Oh, well, now you're going to have to tell everyone what that
is. Oh, it was, so salt and straw.
Uh-huh.
Ice cream.
Big famous Portland ice cream parlor.
Parlor. And now up and down the West Coast, they actually have one at Disneyland.
In Japan, too.
Oh, my gosh. So they had a thing for a while where they would come to the closest public elementary school to each of their stores, and they would, like, do a little demo. And then they would have an ice cream...
Hook 'em young.
Yes, exactly. And they'd have, like, a contest where kids could submit a flavor. And so the first year, Pearl submitted It's Raining Kit Kats and Scotties.
Okay.
Like It's Raining.
Cats and Dogs?
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah. And I think it was a little too esoteric.
Sure.
But the second year, she came back with Taco Cat. And part of the fun of it is that they published the description as the third grader writes it, so it's full of like misspellings and stuff, and it was pretty sophisticated, and so they made it, and so for 1 month you could go to the Salt and Straw on Division Street in Portland and like buy her ice cream,
and it was almost so fun. Scared to ask what the ingredients were that made up Taco
Cat. It had like chocolate covered like tortilla chips and like queso cheese. It was like very sophisticated for a third grader, and it was good. Yeah, we still have some. It's very freezer burnt, but it's like 10 years old. We just couldn't bear to throw the last 2 pints away, so they're like way back in the freezer.
So in the future, when she does Mortified, there'll still be some of that ice cream left.
and I
some gooey
some
gummy.
For anyone who wants to try some.
Ooh, does anyone want to live for forever? Have some of this Taco Cat ice cream.
Yeah. Have you ever been on a talk show?
Yeah, I've been on talk shows. I've been on morning shows and stuff, just like local morning show situations, talking about upcoming events.
Have you ever, let's get real meta, have you ever been on a talk show to talk up Back Fence?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure, I've been on those morning shows. And for a while, OPB has a show here called Think Out Loud. Mm. And for a time period, they had like, they had some members of the arts community, and we were like a roundup kind of.
Oh.
And we would have opinions on arts things, like we'd each express a different opinion on it. And this is so funny. This is how long ago this is. So I think that shows, like, you could start binge watching shows in about 2013.
Yeah.
So like 13 years ago. And House of Cards was coming on.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And it was the first, it was one of the first shows that you could binge watch. So I remember having this really in-depth conversation about what will binge watching mean and what, you know, what does it mean, you know, for all of us. And it's just funny to think back on. That's not really that long ago, but it's long ago enough that like social media was still new and binging things was, you know, just coming into the fore and like
it. Frame masters, futurist and thought leader.
That's correct. That is correct. And I remember just thinking, and I think I might have even expressed this, that as a person who has a hard time like shutting screens off, I just felt like this is not going to be good for me. This is going to be just one episode after another comes on.
Yeah.
And it just felt, gave me anxiety about.
Yeah. Do you ever binge watch or you really try to parse it out once a week?
Oh, no. I definitely binge watch because I cycle through the platforms.
Yeah.
So like I'll just have.
You have a Hulu month.
Exactly.
And an Apple month.
And I just wait for things to be done and then I just watch them.
Do you think binge watching has allowed TV shows to have much more complicated plots? Like, could Yellow Jackets exist if you had to wait a week between episodes with all those plot lines and characters? And
Yellow Jacket did come out episodically.
Oh. Well, then never mind.
Perhaps you also cycle through platforms. No, I'm pretty sure it came out episodically originally.
Yeah. I bring that up because I was enjoying it and I was about four episodes in, but everyone on social media just kept on complaining about how it was too hard to follow. So I was like, well, all right, fine. I'll stop watching.
I don't know. I liked it. I liked like the suspense of it, but I think I watched it originally. So it would come out once a week. I'm pretty sure that that's the case, but I like The Pit right now. I like having that anticipation of having to wait. And like when I lived in LA, there were shows on HBO that they would come on Sundays and we'd like make a whole day of it. So my friends had this house like with a bunch of roommates and you could get there at 11 a.m. and we'd start playing board games and then we'd watch the show, the current HBO show, and then I'll eat dinner watching it. So we just we created all this community around the episodic things and those.
I love it.
Those are some glory days I'm talking about.
We're currently watching Dark Winds, which comes on Sundays on AMC.
I don't know what that is.
It's about a trio of detectives who are tribal police in the 70s on the Navajo Reservation.
Oh, wow.
And it's like kind of the right amount of suspense. And their car budget is insane. It's all these beautiful cars from the 70s.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe one to check out. And I'll check out The Pit. How's that?
Okay, that sounds great.
How's that
and
for
then
a TV
we're,
show
and then we're
going
to come back and talk even more about it.
Yeah. Well, hey.
Hey.
I think it might be time for.
What?
Bree's Hot Minute.
Hi, Bree.
Brought to you by Powell's bookstore manager, Bree Hoag. Bree has been listening intently to my story about Geraldo Rivera and has been coming up with some book recommendations based on my story.
There's a lot of really great literary books about teenage boys, and one of my favorites is by Barbara Kingsolver called Demon Copperhead. It's a best-selling and award-winning novel about a teenage boy named Damon, or Demon, who's navigating all kinds of things that you might see on the Geraldo Rivera show, like poverty, foster care, and growing up in Appalachia. The book is loosely based on David Copperfield. It's a big, thick book that's important, timely, and well-written, and I think Kingsolver is an American treasure. The next pick is The Girls by Emma Klein. It follows a teenage girl who falls in with a group of charismatic peers who are in a Manson-like cult, and it really captures that summertime feeling of being young and stretching for adulthood. It's angsty and somewhat suspenseful.
Thank you, Bree.
Thank you, Bree. Let's binge those books, shall we?
Yes, let's binge.
Let's binge books.
Actually, I have a friend who, or someone I know from college, who came out for the Tin House Summer Workshop, and she had worked in reality TV her whole career, and so had written her. She quit the business to write a novel about the reality TV world, and she was devastated because when she started. She came up with the most like ludicrous, this would never happen. This is like our worst selves reality TV show idea. And in 2 years, that show had already happened and it had gotten worse. So her work was just like, she's like.
She couldn't even imagine it beyond what it actually has become.
No.
Oh, wow. No. That's kind of scary, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know if I love that. Well, you know, thank you all for watching and listening. And we hope that you will follow, like, subscribe, all those things. And Andrew, where can people find you? Let's remind people where they can find you on the internet worlds.
AndrewDixon.com is a great place to start.
You can, and it's not an X, it's a CK.
Yes, you're as much as I would have loved as a third grader. Yeah, AndrewDixon.com.
That's so easy. We can just find you there, and also Instagram.
Yeah.
Andrew Dixon.
Andrew Carey Dixon on Instagram.
C-A-R-E-Y. No E.
As in Grant.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, that's how Wow.
That's how your parents got sneaky there on your middle name. Sure I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Hey, might you share another kind of innocuous or petty thing that makes you come a little unhinged?
Yeah, what makes me unhinged? You know, I'm a Costco guy. I don't actually like going to Costco.
You've now said Costco three times.
I like getting things from Costco, you know, our politics align. Uh-huh. But I'm a glasses wearer, although I'm not wearing them right now. And they have a good glasses game. But the problem is that they only have one case. And so I'm forever, like, the reason I'm not wearing glasses right now is I brought what I thought was the sunglasses or the regular glasses, but of course it's the sunglasses. So
if
anyone from Costco Optical is listening, could you give us more than one case option?
You know, listen, glasses have hinges, so it's a perfect match for us if they would like to support the show.
Oh, hey,
you know that, what I mean? Yeah, you know, yeah. I feel what I'm saying here.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of flubbed that one. That's both kind of understandably annoying and also not that. I didn't become that unhinged by it, so.
Do you want to try becoming more unhinged by it right now?
No, I got nothing.
You got nothing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like Geraldo couldn't rile you up either.
No.
Couldn't
get under my skin.
One time I'm going to try to get you unhinged completely. I'm going to try to do it. Well, hey, you all. Thanks for listening and watching. Andrew, as always, you've been a great co-host.
Frayn, so have you.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow, this has been fun.
This has been so fun. And I would also like to thank our fabulous, they're off camera right now, but Julia Oppenheimer is our behind-the-scenes editor and producer. I am the executive producer, and myself and Andrew Dixon are co-hosts and co-creators. Thank you to musician and frontman for Lostlander, Matt Sheehy, for creating our theme music. And thank you to Pals Books and Kiln Co-working Space for making this episode and our live shows possible. We recorded this show at X-Ray FM. Find them online or at 91.1 or 107.1. And you can find out about Andrew, myself, and Backfence Storytelling and workshops at backfencestorytelling.com. And thank you to you
Thank
for
you.
Listening to our show. Bye.
Bye.